Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's give Jesus a clap offering. Amen.
Amen.
Did you have a wonderful Easter?
Yes, Lord.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
So did I. Thank God for Jesus Christ. We continue with our consideration of the gifts of the Spirit. And we are on the gift of prophecy. And on Thursday we stopped with the consideration of the fact that God may change his mind. And we saw the example of Hezekiah, given the word of God by the prophet Isaiah, put your house in order, because this sickness will kill you. And the Bible said Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and wept. And the Bible said he pleaded before the Lord, presented his case, I have served you. And the Bible said before Isaiah had left the court, God spoke to him, go back, go to Hezekiah, the captain of my people, tell him I have heard him, he will no longer die, I will add 15 years to his days. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Sometimes the Lord does that even today. The only thing is that there may not be a prophet who says it. Do you follow my point?
Yes.
Somebody is sick to the point of death. Suddenly God revives him. Yeah? God gives him a few more years and God takes him. Are you with me? It's the same pattern. I think I shared with you some time ago the time that a lady was very sick here in the lorry. Her husband was a professor in the university here. We were together in full gospel. Her sickness was so serious. Anytime the attack came, they would carry her. If I was here, they would bring her here. If I was at home, they would bring her to my house. And I'll minister to her, she will get up, she will go. And then it will happen again. I'll minister to her, she will get up, she will go. Then it will happen again. And I started to wonder, our God is not a magician. If God is healing you, he is healing you. Something is wrong. And then I started to pray and ask the Lord. And the Holy Spirit told me, there is somebody that she has refused to forgive. And I told her, I said, Madam, there is somebody that you have refused to forgive. And she said, there is nobody. She said, there is nobody. I said, think about it. She said, there is nobody. I kept quiet. The episodes continued. I will minister to her. She will get up. She will go. But it will happen again. I said, Madam, the Holy Spirit said to me, there is somebody that you have refused to forgive. She said, Kuseni kaka. You know, I couldn't imagine that if there was somebody, she would say there was nobody. Do you follow me now? And I knew what the Spirit told me. So it's either the Spirit lied, or I am a false prophet, or she is lying. It's three things. Okay. Who forgot? The woman. Oh, well, too bad. The time that the Holy Spirit says there is somebody you have not forgiven, let me tell you, you will remember. Are you with me? It will just come. One day, we were here, and they carried her, they brought her in. And I said, lay her on the bed in that room. And they laid her there. And she came with her husband. So I left my office. I came here. I prayed for her. She got up. I prayed for her. I left. I went to my office. Then she got up. Then herself and her husband, they both now came to my office to say we are leaving. You know? And then they came in. And the Spirit prompted me again. And I said, Madam, there is somebody that you have not forgiven. Okay, before that day, she was admitted in the hospital. And I went there to see her. And I met Papa Ajolori and Elder Latunji coming as I was parking. And I said, are you coming from this lady's room? They said, yes. I said, I'm also going there. And all I want to tell her is that there is somebody that she has not forgiven. So I went there. And I said, madam, there is somebody that you have refused to forgive. Koseni kaka. Oh, Tony. I said, okay. I prayed with her. I left. After a few days, the doctors discharged her. They told her that she was having a congestive heart problem and that there was nothing they could do about it. And they told her there were only a few people in the whole world who had ever survived it, and so she could go home. Okay. So after she returned home was that episode where I said, lay her here. And after she felt good, she came up to my office with her husband. And I said, madam, there is somebody that you have refused to forgive. And she said, oh, Tony, go send me kaka. And then the Spirit prompted me. She had told me about one lady that she suspected was responsible for her ailment. Then I said, madam, you told me about this lady. She said, yes. Have you forgiven her? She said, Motidari ji. That time I got confused. Then the Spirit prompted me, oh, ask her if she's praying for her. Because usually that is what we tell people. I said, are you praying for her? She said, Mungmadruafu. Now I could break down, Abi. She said, Mungmadruafu. And then the husband said, excuse me, sir. I have told her that the type of prayer that she's saying is not the type of prayer that we were told to say. Thank God. I said, madam, which type of prayer do you say for her? She said, Adua Haman ni mungbafu. Haman. Haman. I am praying the prayer of Haman for her in the book of Esther. Let her be hanged and her children. I said, madam, is that praying for or praying against? You are your own enemy. Some of us sitting here. You are your own enemy. Unfortunately, you will still not be praying. You will not win Shirai. Thank God for the husband who spoke out. I then told them, I said, go home, we'll come to your house tonight. So they left, they went home. Then Professor Adeniyi and I went to the house. We spent some time with them, had a mini vigil with them, we prayed. And then when we were leaving, I prayed, I said to God, Lord, we will never come to this house again to pray on this ailment. As far as I'm concerned, it's over with. The husband said, as soon as we leave, while we were going out, she told the husband she wanted sugar cane. They planted sugar cane in the backyard. So as soon as we left, the husband cut sugar cane, washed and gave to her, she ate. The husband said that was the first miracle because she couldn't eat. As we left the house and walked to the car, the Lord spoke to my ear. I will give her 7 years. That is where we're coming to. But I never told anybody. Do you follow me now? Okay. There are things that you don't say. One Christmas day, I was still in the quarters. Somebody just came and told me, this lady passed away overnight. And I said, oh. So I went to the house. As I entered the house, the first space that you enter into, people were sitting there. The husband saw me, got up, greeted me, and told the brother-in-law, this is the Dr. Okala that I was talking about. 7 years ago, my wife would have died. I just remember 7 years gone. He just reminded me, God just put it in his mouth. He could have said it a long time ago, my wife would have, some years ago, but he said 7 years ago, my wife would have died, and I just remembered, 7 years gone. But the beautiful thing is that during those years, she was all over town. No problem. She traveled abroad, everything and everything. God healed her. On the night that she was going to pass away, she had gone to Umuahra for a wedding. She came back, cooked, everybody ate, they went to bed, and she just passed away overnight. No struggle, nothing. God, nobody had a chance to even do anything about it. And now everybody said, this one is God. The other one was not God. So this one, we all know, this is God. Glory to God. Give Jesus a clap offering. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. The Lord is so good. God can change his mind. He can add to your years. And if you're not careful, he can remove from it. Praise the Lord. He's God. He sits on his throne there in heaven. He does whatsoever he wants. And nobody can query him. When they say Kabiesi, he is the only one. Hallelujah. Amen. So, for whatever time remains today, let us now look at some things. How do we receive prophecies? How do we receive prophecies? Let's look at the book of Numbers, chapter 12, verses 6 to 8. Somebody read in the King James Version. If nobody reads quickly, I'll read. Any Baptist here? Draw your sword. Numbers 12, 6 to 8.
And he said, hear now my word.
Hear now my word.
If there be a prophet among you,
I the Lord
will make myself known unto him
in a vision
and will speak unto him
in a dream.
My servant Moses
is not so,
faithful in all my house.
With him will I speak mouth to mouth.
Apparently,
and not in dark speeches,
and the similitude of the Lord,
and the similitude of the Lord
shall he behold.
How come you are not afraid of my servant Moses? Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So, how do we receive prophecies from the Lord? Somebody tell me one. Visions? I know that dream is there, but you can take it from the top. Visions. God reveals himself to prophets in visions. Most prophets in visions. Hallelujah. That is what God said. Most prophets in visions. Now, who can tell me one prophet in the Bible who saw visions? Joseph? Elisha. Which vision? Because if you name a prophet, you name the vision. He saw the Syrian army, and his servant did not see until he prayed. Abi, let his eyes be opened. Of course, Joseph, the dreamer. He dreamed dreams. You can call them visions. But God said it separately. Visions. Dreams. Praise the Lord. Who else? You remember the prophet Balaam? The prophet Balaam. Okay, two things happened with him. Now, let's see. If this is not too long. Well, Numbers 22, 1 to 9. You can write it down. But see, this has to do with when he got the messengers from Balak. And he will say to them, stay until tomorrow. Maybe the Lord will talk to me overnight. Are you following me? Okay, so he knew the way that God spoke to him regularly. When I sleep, he appears and talks to me. You follow me now? Visions of the night. He knew how God would speak to him. Many of us, we know how God talks to us. But when you go to Numbers 24, 1 to 5, somebody read. Somebody who can read loud.
And when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel,
when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel,
he went
He did not go as at other times
to seek for enchantment.
But he set his face towards the wilderness.
Balaam lifted up his eyes.
He lifted up his eyes.
And he saw Israel abiding in his tents.
He saw Israel abiding in their tents, tribe by tribe.
And the Spirit of God came upon
him.
And he took up his parable.
And said,
Balaam, the son of Beor, and the man whose eyes are open has said,
mm-hmm.
He has said,
mm-hmm.
Which had the words of God,
which saw the vision of the Almighty,
falling into a trance, but having his eyes open. How goodly are thy tents?
It's good enough. God bless you, ma'am. Did he sleep?
No.
He fell into a trance with his eyes open. He was seeing the vision like this. What we say, korokoro eyes. Are you with me? Remember, the first part, he will say, wait until tomorrow. Abi, when I sleep, maybe God will come and talk to me. Refer to that one as closed vision. The vision that you are seeing when your eyes are not open. But the second one that we just read, open vision. The vision that you see when your eyes are opened. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So, we look at closed vision, we look at open vision briefly. Now, let us look at the next one. Dreams. Dreams. He also speaks to most people through dreams, and you can attest to that. Most of us, we dream dreams, don't we? Some of us more than other people, but many Christians dream dreams. Hallelujah. It is a way that God uses to talk to us. However, after he had said, I will speak to him through dreams, the next thing he said was, my servant Moses is not so. Somebody tell me the difference. What did he say about Moses? I will speak to him, whether you say face to face or mouth to mouth, I will accept it. Because if your face is to the face, then your mouth must be to the mouth too. If you don't have your mouth at the back. Praise the Lord. So, whether you say face to face or mouth to mouth, that is okay. He said, I will speak to him mouth to mouth. Mm-hmm. What else? Mouth to mouth or face to face. What else did he say about Moses? Wow. Okay. I will speak to him, start from, my servant Moses is not so.
My servant Moses is not so.
My servant Moses is not so.
Who is faithful in all my
faithful in all my house.
With him will I speak mouth to mouth.
Apparently,
not in dark
speeches. And the similitude of the Lord shall he behold. Now, he said, I will speak to him mouth to mouth. Why? Why? Because he was faithful in all that he did before the Lord. So the righteousness factor cannot be removed from your relationship with God. Are you following me? The closer you move to God, the more you can receive of the things of his Spirit. He said he is not like all of the generality of prophets, because he is very faithful in all my house. Therefore, I speak to him mouth to mouth. Apparently, which means clearly. He said, not in dark speeches. When I speak to him, he is not looking for an interpreter. That is the meaning. When you're looking for an interpreter, that is dark speeches that have to be unraveled. Are you with me now? He doesn't look for an interpreter. We're just talking like two friends. Eh? And he said, I appear to you in dreams, but he actually sees my form, the similitude of the Lord. Will he also behold? Shall he behold? He sees my form with his eyes, not seeing me in a dream. Hallelujah. So the righteousness factor is so important. We cannot take it out. Sometimes we just wait until we're in trouble. Then we will tell God, oh, plead. If God answers now, we will go back. And I say to people, God is not a fool. He's not a fool. Some people want to rush in, get healed, rush out, go back to what they used to do before. Are you with me? Like I said, we are not mechanics. You know a mechanic? Your car has a problem. Zoom, you drive in. The mechanic fixes it, then you drive out. You drive it about again. And another problem. Zoom, you drive in. That's a mechanic. Abby? We want to see people develop in the things of the Spirit of God. God wants every Christian to be able to stand. Go and read Ephesians chapter 6. Put on the whole armor of... He's talking to everybody. Everybody. So that you may be able to stand. Stand. He used the word so many times. Hallelujah. Amen. So, talking about dreams. You remember Matthew chapter 2? Matthew chapter 2. The wise man. Abi? Herod wanted information so that he could kill little Jesus. Abi? How did God warn the wise men? In a dream, God warns them. Beautiful. There are many such cases. But just to take an example. 1 Samuel 9:15. Somebody read 1 Samuel 9:15. Okay, I'll just read it. 1 Samuel 9:15. Now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, and so on and so forth. That's all I need. The Lord told Samuel where? In his ear. God spoke to his ear. Do you follow me now? Somebody will come tomorrow. This person, this is what he's looking for. And this is the state of what he is looking for. So, when Saul came in, the man of God just told him, hey, praise the Lord. So God can speak to your ear. Hallelujah. He can speak to your heart. God speaks in so many different ways. Now, he didn't say God spoke to Samuel in his ears. He used singular, not plural. Abi? When do you speak to somebody in an ear? When you don't want other people to hear. When you whisper. The Lord whispers to your ear. It is always the right ear. If you hear a whisper in your left ear, tell the devil to get lost. Praise the Lord. He speaks to your right ear. If you hear God with one ear only, it will be your right ear. Of course, you can hear with both ears together. Do you follow me now? But if he whispers to you, it is your right ear. Yes. Why? Praise the Lord. He says, why did I say so? One, by experience. Two, under the old covenant, when God told Moses to anoint Aaron and his sons, instruction, he would anoint the tip of the right ear for hearing. Do you follow me now? The tip of this thumb, right thumb, and the tip of the big toe of the right foot. The left is not brought in. Hallelujah. Are you satisfied? Okay. Yes, Vega.
The left side comes anointed from God and does not need for that.
Who said so? How many times in the Bible did God talk of my left hand? It is my right hand. Where did Jesus sit? Left side or right side?
Right side.
Yes, which doesn't matter. You see, some things are symbolic of things. For example, in our own day-to-day language, if I said, this is my right-hand man, are you following me? Apart from symbolism, like if a king sits down, or tumoba, but if the person who bears the title of Otunoba gets up and walks to this side, he is still Otunoba, isn't he? You see, he has left his seat at this side, but wherever he goes in this world, he is still Otunoba. Do you follow me now? Praise the Lord. So, the right hand of God is symbolic of what you call righteousness. Once you are in the righteousness of God, you are at the right hand of God. For I foresaw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. So God is at your right hand. You are at his right hand. Agreement, Lunjebe. Are you with me now? So Jesus said, and some people do it very wrongly, many Christians. Jesus said, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing. Can you add more meaning to that now than ever before? Don't let the enemy know what you are doing. Some things must be kept as secrets to those who are adversaries. So when some of us want to fast, we will not tell our husbands. You say, why? Jesus said, don't let your left hand know what your right hand. Your husband is not your left hand. Your wife is not your left hand. You are husband and wife. You are each other's right hand. Are you with me now? Okay, we misunderstand some things. So next time you want to fast, the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 7, take permission from your husband. So how do you take permission and he won't know? Permission for what? Do you follow me now? They give him reason so that he can also stay away and pray for you. If he can fast along with you, he can be praying for you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh. Okay. Now, God spoke to Belshazzar with a handwriting. Abi? Handwriting. And Daniel had to interpret for him. It's one way that God talks. But see, in general terms, when you tell somebody, you are seeing the handwriting on the wall, it means your doomsday. That is the way it is applied in English. Do you follow me now? When you say it is the handwriting on the wall, it means that means you're finished. Praise the Lord. Well, I put in my note, any other method. There are ways that God can talk to you that we have not mentioned. There are so many ways by which God can talk to you. Sometimes you are the only one who knows, this is God talking to me. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. Now, we talk about these things, and you know, many of us, in all the years that we have learned these things, have refused to prophesy, haven't we? One major obstacle to receiving a gift is actually not expecting to receive the gift. Are you with me? Not fervently anticipating that the gift will be operational in your life. I was so hungry for this gift. I think I said it some time ago. I nearly fell sick. I had to tell myself, Bade, don't fall sick. I hope you follow me now. I wanted certain things so much. In praying for people, I want to see visions when I pray. I fasted, prayed. One day I went to the prison on prison ministry. I finished preaching. we were saying the last prayer. Everybody pray, 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 pray. As soon as I said, everybody rise up, close your eyes, let us pray. As soon as I closed my own eyes, I just saw one vehicle going along a lonely road. Then the vehicle stopped. Boom! I saw somebody jump out in prison uniform, run into the bush. When you're seeing these visions, the time that it takes is much less than the time that I have used to tell you. Do you follow me? In a flash. But the story will be complete. You will understand it. As soon as we finish praying, I just announced, there is somebody here who is planning to escape from prison. Before I said, raise up your hand, one hand went up. Yeah. His hand just went like that. Then I said, see me. After we closed. Then he came to see me. I said, listen, if God wanted you to escape, he would not reveal to me that you're... He said, I know. I said, stay there. Praise the Lord. Give Jesus a clap offering. Hallelujah. Covet the best of the gifts, says the Apostle Paul. Covet them. The word covet is powerful. Ahab coveted a temporal thing, Naboth's vineyard, and he fell sick. He was losing weight. Are you with me now? So when he said covet, it goes beyond ordinary desire. It goes into very strong desire. Hallelujah. Covet them. Now, the other thing is this. Some of us are not bold in handling the things of the Spirit of God. Yes, yet in Hebrews 4, the Word of God says, come therefore boldly to the throne of grace. Boldly. Everybody say boldly.
Boldly.
Boldly. Timid people don't get things easily from God. Because boldness before God means that you know that He is God and you are going to receive. Are you with me now? That is what it means. How many of you at some time in the past have had an experience in the congregation? Maybe you were worshiping, but suddenly you knew that you were receiving a message. Anybody? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay, among about 9 of you or 10, well, however I counted, how many of you actually spoke? Thus says the Lord. Raise up your hand if you spoke. 1. Oh, of course, God has to use somebody else. Why? If you tell me to say it for you, I will tell you, God sent you, go and deliver the message. That's what I'll tell you. He saw me before he gave it to you. Praise the Lord. Do you see what I'm saying? Because you're not bold. Eh? If I speak, you don't want to speak. If you know that you have received, speak. Speak out. Whom will you speak to? Speak to yourself. This is what the Spirit of the Lord says. My children, whatever you heard. I noted there in my notes. The message may come in bits. Most likely it will. In other words, God may say, speak to my people. You hear it. He wants you to say, this is what the Spirit of the Lord says, speak unto my people. By the time that you are finishing that one, the next line will come. Are you with me? Then you'll be saying it. Then the next line will just flow in. If you don't deliver the first, the second won't come. Now, somebody said in Cherubim and Seraphim, somebody is going to speak in tongues all night. Everybody will be sitting. Do you follow me now? And I said, God doesn't want to bore you down. But if the message comes, one line, he says it, another line, he says it, are you bored? No, you're not bored. Line upon line, line upon line. Precept upon precept, precept upon precept. So tell the one who's sitting by you, to the right and to the left, next time speak out. Turn to the other side. Next time, speak out. Hallelujah. The prophets of old, if they never spoke, we wouldn't know them as prophets today. Number two, whether you receive a vision or you dream a dream, when you wake up, write it down. If the prophets of old did not write down what they received, we will not be reading them today. Moreover, a dream has a tendency to fly away. As soon as you open your eyes, write it down. It may be something that you need to interpret later, but first write it down. In my teachings on hearing from God, which is different from this one, there are, of course, serious overlaps. A set of people, write it down, then begin to wait for the interpretation. Hallelujah. Some things don't need an interpretation. They're very direct. Hallelujah. Keep a diary by your pillow. As soon as you see it, you wake up, get your pen, write it down. Amen.
Amen.
But sometimes, sir,
yes.
You don't even remember what you dream about the dream.
That is what I just said. The dream can fly away.
Yes.
You have to write it immediately. If you wake up and it's gone, relax. It will come back. If it doesn't come back, forget it. It's not important. Yes, sir.
My dream always come in the opposite direction. But when I dream and it comes in the opposite direction, it always happens. Maybe I dream that somebody is dead now in the dream.
Yeah.
But it will happen in the opposite, that the person will not die. And I always talk to that person. Or maybe, for example, now, some of my, when my wife is always get pregnant, so that I may dream that the child inside the left, maybe it's going to born a boy. That's opposite. Already I will tell my wife that we are going to deliver a girl, and always happen.
Yeah. Now he says his dreams are always opposite. Is it scriptural? No, that's a deceptive spirit. You will not find in the scriptures where a dream will be the opposite of what comes out. So you have learned to reverse it yourself, which means you rejected the deception. Are you following me now? You have learned to reject, you have learned that this is deception. So when it comes, you reject it and you reverse it. Then it happens the way that you have reversed it. But you can pray to God to give you the true spirit of prophecy. It will come as it will come. Do you follow my point? God doesn't give you things to happen in opposites. You raise up your hand, sir.
Please, I need an explanation on the question of the significance of continuous dreaming. When you sleep, you continue repeatedly.
Yeah.
Having the same over and over.
Yeah, I said that on Thursday. Didn't I? I said if you have the same dream two times with the same pattern, interpreting to the same interpretation, it means that God has concluded it. It will happen. But I have put a note here. If you have a dream that carries to you a negative message which is not of God for you, if you have it 10 times in one night, it shall surely not come to pass. Did somebody get what I'm saying? If you have a bad dream, you have it 10 times in one night. When you wake up, because it is not of the Lord, it shall surely not come to pass. That is what I have said. Well, it's now, whether you pray or you say nonsense, this is not of God. Enough. But if you want, fast. But I tell people, fasting means that you are still afraid. Can you follow me now?
Yes.
I'm not stopping you. If that is what you have to do, do it. But You can fast yourself to death over nothing. You, the devil speaks to you, you begin to fast. It means you still respect that thing. Remember what we read in the book of Numbers. He says, do not respect that prophet. Do you follow me now? Because he has given you a word that is not of the Lord. But fasting over it is the same as respecting it. Are you with me now? We have to learn to do some things in simple faith. You wake up, it's the devil. I have said it here before. People come, I keep eating in my dream. Well, we'll minister to you. I know it's spiritual. But I tell them, the next time the devil comes, tell the devil to bring another one tomorrow night. Big deal. Do you follow me? See, the first time that I experienced such a thing, and I knew, because of the gift that I knew that I had, I knew it was a spiritual battle. And it was the pastor of what was my church. We were sitting in the church holding a meeting. I was sipping a cup of tea from a cup of tea. And I got up. I looked if my wife was outside. I didn't see her. Then I came back and sat down. The next sip, I knew that I had taken poison. In a dream. True. As I opened my eyes, I could feel that thing descending physically. And I got up. I went to the living room. Lord, but why? Why did I drink it? Why didn't I know that something was wrong? And I kept. Then the Holy Spirit said, what are you so anxious about? If you drink a deadly thing, what did Jesus say? He said, it will not hurt me. He said, then why are you? I said, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. Devil, bring another one tomorrow night. Hallelujah. I tell people, if you know things I have eaten in my dreams, you won't come to me and tell me that you are eating in your dreams. But I have learned from the Holy Spirit. It's all nonsense. It is if you believe that it is going to hurt you, that it will hurt you. If you stand on the word of God, it will not hurt you. That is what Jesus said. Give Jesus a clap of it. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Stop believing the story of the devil. Stop respecting him. Glory to God. The last question. okay, just wait. Okay, sir, yes.
I want to know the difference between an afternoon dream and a night dream.
What is the difference? You are asking what is the difference?
The dreams. Why I raise that question?
Okay.
Is that when I sleep in the night?
Yes.
My dreams always say maybe 70% correct.
Okay.
But in the afternoon?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
For instance, let me share just something with you. Last week, I was sleeping in the afternoon.
Yeah.
And I dreamt that Bukola's wife,
yeah,
Foyi, came to Bukola and said that, my husband, Bukola, see, they have disconnected, Nepal disconnected light.
Yeah.
I just woke up.
You just woke up.
Although it has been very, that is what I've been, the afternoon normally come to reality.
So you have concluded that it hasn't come to pass.
That is why I asked the question. I saw two of them.
I see. Yeah.
The wife complained.
I understood you. I understood you. But when you woke up, NEPA did not connect their light. Did not disconnect. No. Don't read it that way.
Okay.
I mean, whether it comes to pass or not, it means power has been cut off from us.
Yes.
That is what it means. So, you can wait. I don't know. Praise the Lord. Okay.
Sir.
Yes, sir.
I want you to give me the definition of a dream and a vision.
Yeah. Okay, we've been talking about it. They overlap. Okay, but if I am sleeping and I'm dreaming, seeing myself going about in Ibadan and doing things, that qualifies very much for a dream. But vision, when you look at the Bible, you see the vision of an angel, you see the vision of God, you see a revelation in a dream. Do you follow me now? There are many things that bring about dreams. I was just going to tell him that. Perhaps many of your dreams in the afternoon come from your activities. You may not know. Afternoon, you are walking, then you sit, you are tired, you sleep. Then you dream. And it may be linked with some things that you have in mind. You can dream from your mind. I hope you follow me. Maybe that is what happens with your dreams in the afternoon. I dream in the afternoon, and I can tell you, let me share one with you. Many years ago, it's okay. Many years ago, Mrs. You don't dream. We will deliver you. You see, many years ago, Mrs. Adeniyi, who passed away, she was sick. It was the day that she was going to pass on. The Lord had told me that she would pass on. I couldn't accept it. Do you follow me? Okay. And I had seen myself at Full Gospel announcing that she passed on. Devil, get aside. Okay. Now, sometimes God is telling you, but you say, devil, get aside. I hope you follow me now. Okay. But this afternoon, I was tired. I just slept. And I saw a vision. And when I woke up, as I was waking up, the Lord then spoke to me. You said that you have left her in my hands. Leave her in my hands. Do not move her to the hospital. Just leave her in my hands. So I got up and I went straight to the house. We're all in the quarters. I went straight to the house. And when I got to the house, I saw Papa Jolore, I saw the Latunji, and I said, oh, Papa, I said, the Lord spoke to me. The Lord said, do not move her to the hospital. Just leave her in my hands. Papa said, okay, that's it. Papa said, Dr. Esara was here. He has gone to arrange for an ambulance to come and carry her to the hospital so that they can give her drip. He said, we're not moving her. That was in the afternoon. Straight. Are you with me? And so we were there until she passed on that night, about 12 midnight that night. So it depends on what you're seeing. I hope you follow my point. Praise the Lord. Okay, yes, sir. So, you don't dream. Oh, I answered your question. We will deliver you. The last one. Please.
An open vision and a trance.
No. Well, you see a vision in a trance. But if your eyes are open, it's an open vision. You can sit here and doze a little. It's not really dozing. You will be aware of your environment. But your eyes are not really open. But you are aware of your environment and you see something happening.
What when our eyes are open?
That is open vision. That is open vision. Okay. We have to go.
There's a time I dream that I'm...
Yes.
All the time because I love mango.
Yeah.
almost about 35 years ago.
Yeah.
I had that dream.
Yeah.
The following day, my mother told me that I should go and flog mango. I refused.
Yeah.
I said, I'm not going to take mango. You see why? Because I love mango for 2 years. Then I appealed to her. I said, I take mango. I start vomiting.
Okay.
I start vomiting. So, since that time, up to 35 years ago now,
yeah,
I've never been taking mango.
Okay. Okay. We have to close for today. To who?
He said he has not been taking mango.
He didn't ask a question. He told us a story.
Continue.
No, he didn't ask a question.
Should he continue?
He has not been eating mango. Yeah, but do you want to be eating mangoes?
I've never tasted.
That's no palaver now. Yeah, but he doesn't want to eat it. No palaver now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's begin to pray. Otherwise, we will not go today. Let's begin to pray. Everybody begin to pray. Let's give thanks to God. Let's bless the name of the Lord. The Lord is so good. Give thanks to God. It is given to us to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. Thank God you are a partaker of these things. And thank God for Jesus Christ who made it possible. Thank him for the blood that was shed for us. The sufferings of the Lord Jesus for us. His death on the cross. And our total redemption. Thank you, Father. Let's bring our prayer to a close. We thank you, Father, for what we have done so far today. We thank you for what we will yet do. Thank you because you are certainly with us. Thank you for the spirit of counsel this day. Your Holy Spirit is the wonderful counselor. And we know that you will be glorified today. Thank you, our Father. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. A clap offering to the Lord.